Let us begin. All right. So so a couple of details with regards to the mezuzah itself that we'll be covering this week. Some of it is a little bit of taking over, especially a little bit repetitive from what we did in Hilchos Sefer Torah. And that is on the first page. So Simen Vav in the tour, right? So the tour says v'chamur, and some of these words will be familiar. It says v'chamurim is sefer Torah, that a mezuzah is more chamur, is more strict than a sefer Torah. Why? She'ikr mitzvasa dafka al duchsustus, because the main mitzvah is using duchsustus v'im kasva ala klaf k'shera. And if you use klaf, it's still going to be kasher. And the re pasal im kasva.
Ricky, then take it upstairs. Okay.
So the dafka. So the re pasal im kasva al hagvil, and the re pasals it if you use gvil. And my father, the Rush, hichshir kamo ala klaf, a ladder like klaf. So what are all of these? What's all this different terminology? So if you recall from Hilchos Sefer Torah, so we talked about this somewhat, that the that there is a dispute as, the Gemara describes that there's really two parts of the skin of the animal. There's the inner part and the outer part. There's the part that's more towards the flesh, and there's the part that's more towards the outside and the hair. And the terminology for that then becomes klaf and duchsustus. Those are the two different things that could be used. So if you take a look here in the Beis Yosef, so beperek hamotzi yayin uperek hakometz tanya halacha lemoshe misinai tefillin al haklaf umezuzah al haduchsustus, that for tefillin you should be using the klaf, and for the mezuzah you should be using the duchsustus. And perek hamotzi yayin, so and then in Shabbos it continues, tanya kasva al haklaf al hanayir v'al hamatlis pasul, that if you use klaf, nayir, and matlis, so nayir, I believe, is paper. What?
Nayir is probably niyar, paper. No?
Right, paper. Matlis is what's it called? Matlis is like a patch, some kind of other leather, maybe. So, or klaf. Klaf, meaning klaf sounds like not the dosustus, meaning use the other one for the mezuzah. So it's going to be pasul. So Amar Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Meir hayakosfa al klaf bifnei shemishtameres. That Rabbi Meir, he records that Rabbi Meir wrote the mezuzah on klaf rather than duchsustus, because that was there. I don't know, he was careful, he was able to get it and certify it or something.
Yeah, I think that means it's more stable.
Oh, it was mishtamer, you're right. Mishtamer, I'm sorry. Mishtameres is because it would be able to write better. So mashma hasam. So what does it sound like? It sounds like that if we paskin like Rabbi Meir, so then we would say that if it's a better thing to write on, so then that's what you could use, even though that might not be the ideal thing according to the Gemara. So mashma hasam, right? Sounds like the halacha Rabbi Meir do kimna l'Rav kavasei, because Rav assumes like Rabbi Meir. Dasikna sahashu the asis lahachi Rav hachi kamar. So klaf harehu kidduch sustus, madduch sustus kosven alav mezuzah, af klaf kosven alav mezuzah. So he's saying that he assumes that klaf is like duch sustus, just as duch sustus you could write a mezuzah on it, so too klaf you could write a mezuzah on it. So according to Rabbi Meir, he doesn't seem to mind, right? Either one would be okay. So the Ran then records that v'chasav Ran v'perek hamotzi yayin demashma l'chadchila nami kosven mezuzah l'klaf, that even l'chadchila using a klaf would be fine. Daham rinan Rabbi Meir hayakosava, plus it says Rabbi Meir used to do that. L'chadchila mashma sounds like even l'chadchila u'medabrinan nami ifnei shemishtameres, and the fact that it says also because it's better kept, it sounds like Hachimashna, that's what it sounds like. I mean, there was a good reason why he did it, not because that's all he could get a hold of or something like that, but because that's what was better. So therefore, every mayor wrote on that which was better for him to write on in his judgment. V'chein kasav Rabbein Chananel, and so too, Rabbein Chananel writes the same thing. So what is that first opinion here? So what is he saying here? So the Ran seems to be saying that it doesn't matter. Meaning, now I'm not sure what the Gemara meant by, according to the Ran, how the Ran understands the Gemara, what he means by you should use duchsustus for one, and you should use klaf for the other, because Rabbi Meir, unless Rabbi Meir is disagreeing with that, and we are passing like Rabbi Meir, saying that you should write on whatever is best. Okay, so that's the shita of the Ran. So it comes to the Beis Yosef, and it says, but the Rif writes that no, hadamir mezuzah al duchsustus lemitzvah avalim kasav al klaf kshera. That the Rif understands it as no duchsustus, using the inner layer of skin, that's the ideal. And b'di'evit, if you use klaf, that would be kasher. V'lo mechur milishna dahayakosva ve'efshar and it's unclear where he from the language of the hayak was he used to write. Ve'efshar da'afal gav de'katani hayakosva haynu l'pamim kishlo ayam izdamin lo duchsustus. And maybe what it means that he used to write that way, suppose he didn't have duchsustus available. Inami heicha debaya shimur, or maybe when you need specifically to be shimur kept there in a way. Kondo medes b'makom ha'torfa o mezuzah shel rabim she'ina nivdekes elapamim biyovel. That, for example, he's using a mezuzah where it's only going to be checked once in a while. Hayakos v'ala klaf b'ifteish mishtemeres yafamina duchsusos, but then it will be kept better. And the Divya Rambam passes like the Rif, where he writes also, kasava mezuzah ala klaf o halagvil kasher lo amru al duchsustus elo lemitzvah. And duchsustus is considered to be the ideal. So what are we left with? We're left with the Ran, and seemingly perhaps the Torah as well, that that you write on whatever is best. That duchsustus versus klaf is not really a halachic issue. It's whatever is best. Whatever is best with regards to the writing. However, the Rif and the Rambam disagree. The Rif and the Rambam seem to be saying that no, ideally you should be using specifically duchsustus when it comes to mezuzah, and klaf for the tefillin. And b'di'avid, you would be yotze if you do it the other way as well. Okay, so that is what's found here in the Beis Yosef. So if we look in the so if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, I guess if you go down to page 4 in the source sheets, so on page 4 where the Shulchan Aruch here is quoted, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes it as follows: Kasfa al klaf o al gvil ksheira lo ramu duchsustus el lemitzvah, and duchsustus is mentioned as ideal. But kasva al klaf or gvil, so that's fine. And as the Rama, klafim shalana kasherim l'kol. Everybody agrees our klaf is okay. Our klaf is fine. So there are. So I think when we learned Hilchos Sefer Torah, I think we spent more time on this. But there is an article in Chakira that is put together by Rabbi Hoffman, Rabbi in Washington Heights, and is like the sofer at YU, where he talked about how the this what we use as klaf, essentially we're using the same thing for everything. That mezuzahs, tefillin, and sefer Torah are all written on the same type of klaf, right? What we call klaf colloquially is not necessarily what the Gemara is referring to as klaf. And so the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, yeah, you'd be okay with that. But the Shulchan Aruch also seems to say that duchsustus is the ideal. So why are we doing the ideal? So he discusses in this article how over the centuries, perhaps the art of it has been lost, and that's just the way it is. So nowadays, all the klafs are the same, and relying on the shita of Rabbi Meir. I mean, there are a couple of hints in the Gemara that seems like not that way. I mean, the Gemara refers to which part of the klaf you write on as being halacha moshe misinai. If it's halacha moshe misinai, it generally means if you're not able to argue on it. But yet, nevertheless, maybe out of necessity or just or out of understanding, we assume today that using duchsustus or klaf, with using what we call klaf is sufficient. And while there might be some out there that are trying to reclaim the ability of separating the duchsustus from the klaf, is certainly not a widespread practice. Okay, so that is Sif Vav. For Sif Zion, you could go back to the Beis Yosef here. So the Beis Yosef basically appears on page 3. So if you go to page 3 of the source sheet, so that gets you to page Reshai and Vav. So at the very end of the Sif, so the Beis Yosef throws in that the Rambam writes in Perek Hey, Tzarech li zahir b'tugin sheba, that you have to be careful about the tugin that appear on the that the tugin are the crowns that appear on certain ones of the letter. So what are those? Ve'elu hein hatagin she'osin b'mezuzah. So in the Parsha Rishona, yish bas sheva osios. Al kol os mehen shlosha zainin. And on every Parsha, there is, they write, you put three zions on top. What are three zions? What is that? So if you look carefully at a fancy mezuzah, I don't know if I have any fancy mezuzahs right now. Yeah, so you can't really see, but this is one of the nice mezuzahs I happen to have right now. And you can see the crowns on top. So ideally at the top of the crown, see on the nun over there, right there. So there's three things coming up on top. And at the top of it is like a little knob at the top. So there are some that are makbid that actually be three zions, that actually be three sticks going up, with little crowns going up on the side. We generally are not makbid on that, and that usually often can lead to these tagin bumping into each other, which is its own problem. So it probably means that you don't have tagin. But anyways, so what are those letters? So ve'iluhin shin ayin shel shema. So the shin and the ayin of the shema. He's actually going to go through the first paragraph, all the letters that have crowns on them. Right, so the shin, there you go. The shin and the ayin of the Shema both have crowns on them. Shel Shema, the nun, shel nafshecha, betray zainin, shel mezuzos, betray tussin, tesses of totafos. Uparsha shnia yesh basheshos yos hakol os mehen shlosha zainin ve'eluhin gimel shel degancha, betray zainin, shel mezuzos, betray tussin, shel totafos, betzadi shel haaretz. Ve'im lo asa tugin ol shahusif behen ogar mehen. But if you don't have these tugim, lo pasul ad kan l'shona. Right? If you don't have them, so then you're not going to be pasul. I'm not sure why. I didn't look into why the Rambam only talks about certain ones of the letters. Meaning, we assume that this is known as the shatnez gat gets the seven letters that all have tugim, and we put them on every one of them. All of the I'm a little confused about this. Is it here? We assume that all of those, whenever those letters are used, so there are tagin that are added in. What's not mentioned here in Shulchan Aruch, actually, for some reason, I'm not sure why it's not mentioned here, are other letters that have tagin on them that are often, we assume, required. Like, for example, the hey on top of the Hashem's name, where it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? So there's, on top of the hey, there's little crown there. Right, so that is not mentioned here in Shulchan Aruch, but it is mentioned, I believe, in Hilchos Tefillin, and it is referred to. I was told, I heard a little discussion on, right, Leibowitz gave a 10-minute halacha on the other tagin of the mezuzah, and apparently Rabbi Reisman gave a shir, Rabbi Reisman gives that Motzi Shabbos Navi shir that's sent all over the country. Apparently he made a big deal a couple weeks ago that our mezuzahs don't have those other tagin on it, and it's terrible, and people should all make sure to spend more money on their mezuzahs in order to make sure that they all have the appropriate tagin. Okay, so that is Zion to the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really say much here. The only thing that he does... the only thing that we would add is be on page 4, is that the Taz, the Shach does add that the other laws of writing are all extended from the Sefer Torah to Tefillin and Mezuzos. The exception to that is that you don't have to write Min Haksav. That when it comes to a Sefer Torah, one needs to write their Sefer Torah Min Haksav. And by a mezuzah, that is not required because you're so used to saying it that you don't need to write it min haksav. Every sofer knows how to write mezuzahs. Of course, there are some odd spellings in mezuzahs, but apparently it's expected that it's not required that mezuzahs be written from another printed thing. Okay? So let's then, I think we can head back then to the page 2 of the source sheet, where...
people are having the same problem. I only have one page.
Oh, really?
So, I'm not sure if other people are having the same
problem. No, you probably are. You're all following the same link, so... Okay.
I only have one page.
Okay, so, yeah. All right, I only... Let me forward the whole thing.
Hey, you guys were quiet about it. I said that maybe I made a mistake.
There was too much noise here.
So the business about the target, if they have the design, has to have target, right? And they have to be proper, right?
Yes, although they're not ma'akiv. So. So, like, I'm not quite sure, like, how to, like, what to do with that. But, yeah, they should have them. Every L'chachila mezuzah is going to have them. The way I distinguish between what I call in my, selling mezuzahs, the kosher mezuzah versus the L'chachila mezuzah, is that L'chachila has all the tagim. Now, really, all the kosher tefillin will have these tagim, meaning the shatnez gets tagim, the ones on the shin, the ayin, the tes, the zayin, the gimel, the tzadi, those rarely will you find. I mean, a good mezuzah doesn't have them. I mean, some of the low level mezuzahs might not have them, but a regular kosher mezuzah should have all of those. But then it's the bay, the one on top of on the bays and on the hay and on the dalid. I mean, there are some other ones that are out there. Some of them are commented on in the Gemara itself. But some of those might not always exist so well in every mezuzah you get. But it would still be considered kosher. It just...
Sorry. Mr. Brewer, under tefillin, goes through the whole alphabet with all the tagim, right?
Yes. Whether he mentions... He does mention the tagim there, yeah.
He's got every letter?
Yes.
Which tagim should be there?
Correct. Correct. Now, none of them are okay. I just put up a new thing that should have all the 6 pages of sources on it. Yeah, right. The Mishnah Berurah has it. Now, I'm a little annoyed because I actually David Lichtenstein mentioned in the last week's podcast on headlines that he had just published Chelek Aleph Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Achrona, I mean, with all of his stuff in it. So Chelek Aleph includes Hilchos Tefillin and all the letters and all of that. So I got it. It's actually not very expensive. It's 3 volumes. It was only $30. But I would have to pay for shipping. So I have to, of course, buy $70 other worth of other stuff in order to get above the shipping threshold, the free shipping threshold. And then it came in and he doesn't do Hilchos Tefillin. The whole other thing is fine, but Hilchos Tefillin, they didn't work on it. So I don't know what happened there. So I'm a little annoyed about it. I just realized that today. So I'm not happy about that. But anyways, so that is Sif. Okay, so that was Sif Zion.
And why letters? Is that the same in the Torah? The Shatnez gets?
So yes, it is the same as the Torah. I think it's assumed to be Halacha Moshe Misinai. I don't. It's definitely not a limud that came out from it. Is there things that we learned from? I don't remember what the details are in terms of what we learned from it. There are the famous Gemara about Moshe Rabbeinu being told about Rabbi Akiva, and where Moshe Rabbeinu sees Hashem working on something. Yes, what are you doing? And Hashem says, "Oh, I'm putting the crowns on the letters." And Moshe's like, "Why are you doing that?" And he says, "Oh, because in the future there'll be this guy. Rabbi Akiva is going to darshan out the Tagin." He's going to find meaning in those tagim, sounding like he's going to find halachic meaning in this tagim. Now, I'm not sure there is any Gemara that talks about learning halachos out of the tagim. I'm not sure. But there is some meaning to it, and the Gemara itself refers to it as being halacha Moshe Misinai, which is a little bit of a question, then why is it not ma'akev? But it's assumed to be not ma'akev, but it is considered to be halacha Moshe Misinai. Generally, we do try to fix it, meaning if I have mezuzos and it's missing a tag here and there, so that I will generally add that in when checking mezuzos. Okay, so Sif Ches comments also in the Torah here. So the Torah says, right, V'od chamura mi sefer Torah, that we're also more machmir, shel divrei hakol tzricha sirtut Vimlo sarte psula, that according to everybody, it requires sirtut. What are the sirtut? So we talked about the sirtut in the context of Hilchos Sefer Torah. Those are the little lines that appear on the top of the letters, right? The etched in lines that you can sort of make out. It's in plastic, so maybe you can't. Right? So there you could see sort of in the light. Wow, you really can't. All right, there, where it says Vahaya im Shamoa, there you could clearly see the sirtut there.
Uh-huh, so it's at the bottom.
At the top.
It's at the top of the letter.
The top line of every letter, but a lamed will go above it, right? Right? So it says more chamor that everybody says you require sirtut. So what is going on here? So the Gemara says that's the maskan of the Gemara in Parak Shein to Megillah and Vakomates. The Sefer Torah nechleku aposkim im kasu below sirtut. Now, when it comes to the Sefer Torah, there's a machlokas about it. So Rabbeinu Tam says that it's kasher, and Rambam says it's pasul. As we saw in Reishai and Aleph, kasu Rabbeinu the mezuzah leka plugu. When it comes to mezuzah, there's no argument. Everybody agrees that if you don't do sirtut, it's going to be pasul. So midasik to the mezuzah by sirtut mashadim lo saratet. Puzzle. That the fact that it says mezuzahs require sirtut sounds like if you don't do it, it's puzzle. And also we say in hakomates, meaning in Maseches Menachos, kasva igeres psula. Leperish Rashi, kasva igeres below sirtut. Meaning the problem, if you write it as an igeres, meaning without sirtut, so then it's going to be puzzle. So this sirtut also, I think the terminology of Alacha Moshe Mesinai is used, and it's necessary, certainly in mezuzos, maybe in Sifrei Torah, and it's not ma'akev when it comes to tefillin. Although with tefillin, they do require a line on the top, right? There are, I think Ravina Tom says you need a line on the top, but the rest of it you don't need. Why would there be a difference? So Tosfos makes the comment because nobody opens their tefillin, which means that you're not going to be able to see it, which is a very interesting idea because that sounds like the idea of hiddur mitzvah. I mean, the idea of sirtut is to make it look beautiful, is to make sure that everything looks straight and even and equal. So the idea, if that's the case, so what Tosfos seems to be implying is that there's no din of hiddur mitzvah unless you're going to go ahead and see it. That's what it sounds like from that Tosfos. So we pass it like that, I'm not sure, and I'd love to see what the Mishnah Achrona had to say about it, but they don't have Hilchos Tefillin in there, so I don't know. But anyways, but mezuzah is required, and Sefer Torah is maybe required. So why should mezuzahs be different than tefillin? Mezuzahs we also usually read. So no, mezuzahs you're supposed to check every once in a while. Tefillin you don't really have to check as often. So we'll get to that when we talk about checking mezuzahs a little bit later on. So therefore mezuzahs require sirtut. Whatever it is, it's certainly exeris hakasuv. It certainly is required. So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, so that would be page 4. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, Tzricha sirtut v'im kasav lo sirtut psula, that you require sirtut, and if you write it without sirtut, so then it is pasul. So the Piskei Tshuva here quotes from Rabbi Akiva Eger. I have my Tshuva, I looked it up as well. The Tshuva is Rabbi Akiva Eger here. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asks the following. Rabbi Akiva Eger on the bottom of the page, not in the Rabbi Akiva Eger, but rather in the Piskei Tshuva, quoting the Tshuvos of Rabbi Akiva Eger, says as follows. His I am a Tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eger, simen nun, right? Nun vav nun, spells nun, right? But mezuzah shenimsa sha'usios nichtavin bein sirtut l'sirtut. So what about the following? I mean, you wrote sirtut, but the letters aren't touching them. Right? So is there a way... Is there a way, imish takana lisartate ata baroshi hashuros kadino? Can you add the sirtus in a little bit later? I'm not sure I'm understanding the question here. Let's just look it up here. So for dafa harali takak mezuzah verisi miksos masirtut akum ood vahashuros nechtvim miyusher bein sirtut lasirtut. Right. That they use the sirtut as guidance, but they didn't actually have the letters touch the sirtut. Right, the top of the letters are very far away from the sirtut, upasalti, so therefore I pasled them, the person asking the question said, I passeled them because they don't seem to be used. And so the sofer asks me, is there a way that maybe we could fix it by adding the sirtut later? That's the question the Piskei Tshuva is quoting here. Can you add the sirtut later? And the answer I brought is from the sugya in Menachos about that you can't use go from it being tefillin to being a mezuzah because it's going down in kedusha, right? So truth is, he doesn't really quote the whole Gemara here. Time of the Emoridin, Hamoridin, Osin, Vahabaya, Sirtut, Vahakaimalon, Tfilin, Etzer, Sirtut, Mezuzah, Tzricha, Sirtut. Right. So as the Gemara there says that, oh, the reason you can't turn Tfilin into a Mezuzah is because the Tfilin, you can't bring it down in Kedusha. So the Gemara asks, aye, but wait a second, Tfilin don't have Sirtut in it, and Mezuzahs do. So, and so the Gemara comments, and Mezuzahs do. So therefore, you can't turn something from Tfilin to a Mezuzah. So the Gemara comments, so Rabbi Kiva Eger comments, but if you could add the sirtut later on, that wouldn't be a psul. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you see from there that you can't add the sirtut later on. My kusha hayachol is sartid achshav. V'kam mashma b'loshon Rambam v'shulchan Aruch shekasu v'im lo sartid psula mashma de'ein lazet takana. Right, he said if there's no sirtut, it's pasul, implying that it's pasul and you can't fix it. If there was a way to fix it, they would say to fix it. The fact that it says there's no way to fix it means they're not able to fix it. Umavur sham in the parentheses, the lav mishum debay b'mezuzah kesidra, and it's not because you require the mezuzah to be in order. Lachin lo mahani sirtut achar kach zeino da ein chisaron b'kufa osios. It's not about writing it in order. Vayverak tikun achir, some other fixing kamo chakikas negia the mahani b'mezuzah el etzarach lomer demi achar da havel the lach lo mushim esinai debo sirtut ikasa belo sirtut lashma ksiva. That he says the halacha is simply because the halacha requires the lines there, and if you write it without the lines, so then you've written a pasul mezuzah, and you're not able to fix it later on. And he says unclear with regards to a sefer Torah. Then he adds in as well, what about the following? If you separate it with a bedil, now I don't know what a bedil is. A bedil seems to be a separator, some kind of thing that's used to etch the lines, but apparently you're not etching permanent lines. You're only etching temporary lines in order to write it better. So then after you write it, so then you're then going to go back later and add thicker lines in later. So the Yesh Lomer no came into lo haya pam below sirtut faksiva haya kadino demahani. So Rakhiv Yeager says that would be okay because the writing was done well. It always had sirtut, and then you're etching in permanent sirtut, and everything's going to be everything's going to be okay. Haya kadino demahani v'afal achar shenishu v'yesh lomer demahani v'sarik kamek. Yeah, what?
Afterwards, because it would wipe out some of the letters. If you're just doing that indentation, it would like cut off the.
I mean, by adding in later, are you going to add indentation? So, in theory, the letters are supposed to reach until the sirtut, except for lamed. Apparently, it wouldn't. I don't know. I don't think you're not carving out of the klaf. You're putting things in. In fact, a get, we also do sirtut in a get. It's also required. In fact, one of the things that the Masader Gittin carry in their briefcase, I didn't see Rav Lazarovsky's of this, but Rav Nutter Greenblatt has it, is like a board that he has etched in lines already. So a get, by the way, is actually written specifically on paper, not on klaf. Because they don't want to be machmir. There's a whole thing in anything having to do with Gittin and Yuchsin that you don't want to be more machmir than previous generations. So that's one thing. So Gittin were written on paper, so you're not going to add a chumrah later on to have it written on klaf. But second of all, paper, Rabbi Lazarovsky pointed out to me that the paper is actually better than klaf because a klaf you could erase fairly easily and not even notice something was erased there, because you sort of cut off a little bit, but paper, you can't do that with paper. So paper is better for shtaros than Klaff is. So I remember seeing Rav Natta, sort of when I saw the get with Rav Natta Greenblatt, so he took a piece of paper and he put it against his clipboard that had these etches in it, and then he just takes his fingernail and just ran across it, and that's how he created the sirtut for the get. So you're not necessarily right. You're not carving anything out. You're not erasing it. You're just putting an indentation in that's going to stay there. In fact, if you look at the back, often you could feel them on the back. I can't really show it, but you could sort of not really. You can't really see if you. You can even see it sometimes, the bump coming out the back of the mezuzah that comes from the from the sirtut. What?
I think we can see it if you hold it at an angle.
Yeah. I mean, these are. It's usually with the lower. I don't know. Try it at home. It's easier with the the less expensive mezuzahs. But they're not. This is a good one. Here, you should be able to see this here, right? You can see on the back, right? You see all the lines there. That's the back of the sirtut, right? And even the shin dalad yud is written with its top against sirtut as well, right? Okay, so in Shulchan Aruch, so that's the Rebbe Kiyah in regards to Sirtut. So he says you are allowed to, he says if you can't add them in later, but you can make temporary runs and then add more in, and then add more in later. Now, one of the issues that, so one of the things people give me mezuzahs to look at is often, is this kosher? So before even, going letter by letter, there's a couple of things that I look at. So one of the things that I look at is to see if there are Sirtut, right? The real low-class mezuzahs, a lot of them don't even have sirtut in them, or they're erased and things like that. So right away you can see there's a problem, there's no sirtut. Another thing you could often see right away is if the letters actually touch the sirtut, right? Often you could take a look and just see the letters aren't touching the sirtut. Now, does that mean the mezuzah is pasul? So somebody told me yes. Someone told me that, mi'ikar din, that every letter needs to touch the sirtut. So I'm not sure where that person got their source from, but I did come across on page 5 in the source sheet from the Mesoras Moshe, and Mesoras Moshe volume 3, right? Again, Mesoras Moshe is the list of sort of recordings of practices from Rav Moshe. So the... let me just open this. So at the very, that's the wrong one. There you go.
One page.
Is again only one page?
Anybody else have other pages?
Yeah, it's all in one page. It's just, there were two links.
Yeah, they both work.
Ah.
Really good.
That's
okay.
Why is this? Why wouldn't it work? I don't understand. Share. This is a 20. Try this one more time here.
That's the one I'm looking at. It says, this is a 20, page 2.
20.
I wouldn't worry about it at this point.
Okay, yeah. So in the Mesoras Moshe, which I was relying on this also, all pages. So there Rav Moshe says that he thinks if you read through that shuv of Rabbi Kiva Eger, he gets the impression that you don't actually require any of the letters to touch the sirtut. Meaning the sirtut really only have to be used as a guide. And if they don't have, and if the letters don't touch the sirtut, even in total, he thinks it would still be okay. I sent the link without checking first whether it actually does have all the pages, but it does have all the pages. Yes, all 6 pages, right? So on page 5, so you have here for Rav Moshe, right? V'sha'alti es Rabbeinu, I asked Rav Moshe, im mezuzah tzricha sa'osius liga mamish besirtut, v'yiskarti demolashon Rabbi Kiva Eger, right? Mashra she'ain tzarech she'igu, they don't actually have to touch. V'heshiv Rabbeinu, she'pashus, eino tzrichin ligas, they don't need to touch. Da sirtut nasa rak v'chle she'yu ha'osius yisharus, aval ein k'peda she'igu mamish. That the sirtut are made in order so that the letters be straight, but they don't necessarily have to touch. That being said, if you look at any higher level mezuzah, every letter is going to touch the sirta. That's just not a thing that's not going to exist. Okay? All right. So that is Sif Tes. And, oh, wow. All right. So that the one... All right. And then we get to Sif... That was Sif Ches. Sif Tes, we'll just state the din here, is a very interesting... Is like the example that is used... in the Inside Stam book, this is the example of you really need an expert in Sofros, because most Sofrim only learn what appears in Orach Chaim, and they never learn this halacha, because this halacha is in Hilchos Mezuzah rather than in Hilchos Tefillin, where most of the laws of Stam are. And what is that? So the and it's based on a Gemara where the Shulchan Aruch says here, Kosev Kol Shitoseha Shavos. You should try to make it so that the entire all of the lines are the same size, right? That should be a square on both sides here.
Justified,
right? Good term, right? So it should be all justified going up and down both sides. Right, v'im herich b'shita achas yoser mi biosa shelafaneha, and if you make one line longer than the one before it, uvoser shachteha kitzer yoser, and then the next line you make smaller mi biosa shelafaneha than the one before it, lifnei paneh k'shera, and the one before it as before that one, that's still kasher. Uvilvad shelo yasena kikova o kiznav o k'eagle, so long as you don't make it like a kova, a znav, or an eagle. So what is a kova, a znav, and an eagle? So a znav is a tail. A kova is a hat in this context?
I think it's kuba.
Kuba is a... Do you remember what's a kuba?
Kova is a hat, but that's spelled differently.
An ohel, like a tent. That's what it is. Ohel racha, like a tent. That goes down. So what is the where'd he go? A tent, Sheldon.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
Okay, so what is that halacha? So what he's saying here is you have to make sure, and I don't have my bad mezuzahs here, that you have to make sure that you can't have a kova is three letters. Oh, actually, I have diagrams on page 6. So take a look at page 6. You said it wasn't so important to send, but no, I knew you needed to send it. If you go to page 6 here, so it's from Sefer HaMezuzah. There you go. So the Tzuras Ksivasa, so if you see number 9 and 10, so both of those are examples of a kova where it gets, well, I'm not sure which one is which again. Right, kova is v'shifua tsar lamala v'rachav lamata, that it's skinnier on top and wider at the bottom. Or znav is where it's wider on top and smaller on the bottom. Right?
So nine is wider at the bottom and 10 is
getting narrower.
10 is, well, it's from, it depends which, so I learned, and then 11 is an eagle. Eagle means that it's a circle, and that it goes out and then back in. Now, where does this come from? This comes from the Gemara says that you can't write the mezuzos like three words on top of two words, on top of three words, on top of one word, right? That's
it's like a song.
Well, it says it doesn't have to be equal so long as it's not like a kova, and so long as it's not like a znav, meaning that it can't be three lines going out or in. Why? What's the problem there? So it seems like the problem is, I think in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's book, that's where I saw this, that, well, the problem then is that it looks like you're drawing a picture rather than writing a document. So that's going to be a problem. Now, my impression from learning it, I mean, I knew this din, but then as I was going through it today, I said, wait a second, the Gemara is talking about a case where it's on both sides, right? That the entire line is getting wider and smaller and wider and smaller, right? But that's not a problem in our mezuzos, because in our mezuzos, it's all, at least on one side, for sure you're always starting at the same place. The problem is always on the ending side. That's where you could sometimes run into this problem of a kova or a znav. But yet, if you look at the shach says nothing doing. The shach here, really without a makor, but the shach just says, I feel mitzada echad, kakova o kiznav. Even if one side looks like this tent or tail, where it's three lines in a row going in one direction, getting wider, 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 or thinner, 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 in both of those, says the shach, that would be a problem. Now, the truth is, I thought the Rambam is the one who brings up this idea of the circle, or kin eagle. So, according to the Rambam, you can't have an eagle unless you have a znav or a kova. So I would think, maybe according to the Rambam at least, it needs to be a problem on both sides, not just on one side. But nevertheless, we paskin like the shach, that even on one side of mezuzah, so that's going to be a problem. So this, so there is a bit of a question of, okay, how big of a difference do you have to be concerned about? Like, for example, here, if we take a look, let me get my zoom back up here, right? So if you take a look here, right? So you have the Vav Yud, well, here, Yud Mem Mem, right? So you can make a case that that is a Znav, and that it's getting a little bit wider, right? That Mem is a little bit further out than that Mem, and that Mem is a little bit further out than that Yud. So what's the shear? So, I don't know, it's hard to find any halachos about this. I did find today, and the Sefer, there's some, I was able to find it on Otzer HaChachma, because the Inside Stam book quoted it, a kuntres that somebody pretty much, looks like they showed 20 examples to Rav Eliashiv, and asked him what he thought about it. So I didn't get a chance to go through it, and maybe we'll go through a little bit about a couple of examples next week, but apparently Rav Eliashiv said that you don't have to worry about it unless it's as wide as the top of a yud. So, right, the smallest letter, that's the shear. So this is not going to be a shear, that's a problem. And anyways, it's also fixable, because you could always sort of extend the mem a little bit or something, right? If it's really a big difference, so then you could extend some of the letters and get out of this problem. But it is an issue. It's an issue that it is a halacha. Some people aren't aware of it, but when you check mezuzahs, so that you need to... It's something that you need to that the person checking needs to keep an eye out for.
So it's not going to make the line longer or shorter, right? That's to keep the line.
Well, it's to keep it straight. Now they do put sirtut off. They do put sirtut on both ends. I'm not sure. I think it's ma'akev in the beginning. On the starting side, I don't think it's ma'akev on the other side. Right, but the minhag is to put margins in. I see even here my cheaper mezuzahs has sirtut on both sides also to establish the margins.
Diagrams on page 6.
Page 6, you can see, right, there's sirtut on each side. By the way, if you all want to see something else interesting about these diagrams, look at the top diagram of the top parsha, how they spell Hashem's name.
They do that on purpose.
Yud Dalid Vav Dalid. Right, they do it on purpose. Right.
Standard for what? For a textbook?
For Seamus.
For a textbook, right, to avoid... I'm not sure. I mean, this is a safer. You're not getting rid of it, but okay, you know.
Can't get it.
Yeah. All right, so maybe we'll stop here. Maybe next week do a couple of examples of what this COVID thing is, because I want us to get through this... what Rav Eliashiv exactly have to say, and I'm also interested in hearing what exactly does he really have makaros for it, or is just like sort of suggesting that this should be the shear that we're going to use. All right, so we'll pick up with that Mirza Hashem next week. Okay, and we'll try to resolve some technical difficulties before then as well. Okay, have a good night. Where's my recording? There we go.